senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection. The erection. The erection.
So, have a good life. We will see you soon.
For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it.
And we'll lead, not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example.
Strike and 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 strike.
I will eat your leftist ass like corn on the cob. I'm ready.
Welcome to the Crowd Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Good Wednesday, everybody. Crab Diving Live, streaming at you from Pensacola, Florida, the Redneck Riviera, USA. Thanks for listening. Whether you downloaded us as a podcast at your favorite podcasting application, whether you're listening live, hey, what's up?
I think my levels are down. One second.
Oh, shit. I was looking for an unflattering picture of Elon Musk.
Oh, an unflattering? Or now I'm too loud.
But it's so many to pick from. You know what I mean? I just don't know which I which one should I go with?
I don't know. you're listening to the Crab Diving Network, streaming 24/7, listening to one of the reruns. Holy crap. Thanks for listening. Thanks for buying shit through the Amazon link, crabdiving.com/Amazon. Use that link every time you go to buy shit at Amazon and we get a wee commission. Doesn't cost you fuck. And okay, Shelby, one second. You'll get your Kong toy. And Amazon, crabdiving.com/Amazon. Use that link every time you go to buy shit at Amazon and we get a little commission. Doesn't cost you anything. Just helps us out here with a few pennies on the dollar. Thanks Yay. To Mr. Bezos.
Thank you, oligarchs. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Nobody's better than you guys.
I think that's the opening. There you go. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, okay. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Yay.
Let's get to... I'm going to deploy the Kong toy. I'm going to adjust my levels one more time, and then we'll start the headlines.
Oh, good. By the way, it's... is it Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's
Prince Spaghetti Day. Also, Ryan's birthday, everybody.
Oh, that's right.
Wish Ryan a happy birthday.
Thank you. I would like to thank the Academy.
There's actually a gift coming. Between 4 and 6, I hope it arrives during the show.
Thank you.
Because it'll actually be a good open on the show kind of deal. Let's see what the headlines are. Commie, Pinko, Liberal, HuffPo, Sitter.
Well, I could just imagine the headlines. It's all about Trump being a Nazi.
No, it's Elon. This story is hilarious. Don Lemon?
Yes.
You'll recall him?
Of course.
You remember Don Lemon? They announced that he would be doing a partnership with and doing a show on X.
Yes.
Well, Don, to make it short, Don Lemon did his first interview.
Yeah.
Of Elon Musk.
Right.
After the interview, Elon said, "No more deal."
Why? Because
such a whiny little pissy baby. Asshole.
You know, I'm surprised. How much money did they give Don Lemon to work for fucking Elon Musk? Good God.
So the headline at the HuffPo is sour. Elon axes Don Lemon deal after one interview.
Oh, yes, because you're a vain little authoritarian fuck just like Schittler. Fuck you.
Elon Musk must have been really unhappy with his recent interview with former CNN anchor Don Lemon. That's Woo. Because he canceled a proposed X partnership right after Lemon interviewed him for his new show, which had been set to debut on the platform March 18th. It's still coming out on the 18th. He's still going to post it on X. It's just not an official, right. You know, X show.
Does Don Lemon have lots of debt? Does he have lots of ex people that he has to pay off or something?
I don't know.
Why, Don Lemon, why would you work for this apartheid fuck?
Lemon made the announcement on X Wednesday, said the cancellation came hours after an interview I conducted with him on Friday. The interview is still the show's premiere episode, but it will run on YouTube. It will premiere on YouTube. Tech journalist Kara Swisher is reporting that Musk was miffed when Lemon asked the mogul about his alleged ketamine use.
Yes, this is what happens. This is what happens when you work with authoritarians, though. They fire you, and they get mad and pissy. And
you can't question them.
Yes, yeah.
Can't challenge them. Lemon said Musk's reaction is strange, considering he, quote, publicly encouraged me to join X with a new show, saying I would have the full support and that his, quote, digital town square is for all.
Please, Don. Here's another thing we all know authoritarians do. They do what? They lie. Elon lied to you? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. What a shock.
Knocked me over with an ant fart.
Why did you take a job with X? That seems particularly gross to me, knowing the kind of Nazi this Elon Musk is. Does it surprise you that he would take this job? Is Don Lemon poor?
No, I'm sure not.
Why did you take that, though? How horrid.
Well, he said something that he's like, well, you know, it's still, they still have a lot of reach. You still have a lot of, he was like, there's still a lot of people on Twitter, basically.
Yeah, you and Tucker have a show on Twitter, Don. Does that make you happy?
In fact, Lemon said he agreed to work with Musk after the billionaire promised, quote, significant commitments about the support X would provide for the show.
Ah, he lied.
Lemon added, quote, I made the decision to work with him in a unique partnership that I believed would ultimately assure that my work would be available to the most people in the largest possible venue. I took, here's the problem.
How much money?
Here's the problem. I took Elon and his management team's word.
Why?
That they, for the first time, were interested in working directly with new and diverse voices.
Fuck off. God, I cannot believe this. Let me translate what Don Lemon means. What Don Lemon means is that they offered him a fuck ton of cash. They offered him a lot of money. What is it about Elon that makes anyone think that weird little turkey Nazi wants to work with diverse?
Well, the funny thing is, he'll probably get more views now of his interview with Elon because of this whole debacle. Good job, Elon.
Well, good job, Don. I mean, why would you want to work for that? It's still weird to me.
Lemon said Musk made no restrictions on their interview. So the veteran reporter asked questions that were respectful and wide-ranging, covering everything from SpaceX to the presidential election. Although Lemon thought it was a good conversation, he said clearly Musk felt differently.
Dude, Don, you are making this guy, let's say you didn't ask the ketamine question, or you asked the ketamine question, what was the rest of the interview? I mean, did you challenge him on anything? On his weird little, like, thoughts about Hitler and fascism and stuff like that? Or his anti-Semitic shit he posts?
Lemon then threw shade toward Musk, saying, quote, his commitment to a global town square where all questions can be asked and all ideas can be shared seems not to include questions of him from people like me.
Yeah, no shit. And it's weird to me that the first thing Elon does when he gets control of Twitter is he lets all the Nazis back on.
Right.
I mean,
Hi, everyone. Elon Musk is mad at me. And I just put out a statement about what happened between him, me, and the interview that he is apparently so upset about. But make no mistake about this. This is going to be my first episode of the Don Lemon Show this coming Monday, March 18th. So make sure you tune in. This does not change anything about the show except for my relationship with Elon and X. And there's a whole lot that went down, and I'm going to tell you about in the coming days. I know, though, that many of you were not happy that I was doing this in the first place.
Yes.
And you told me so. I just want you to know that I did this deal because not only do I believe in free speech, but I believed that this was the best possible chance.
I believed in the big pile of money they were putting in front of me.
Don, this is bullshit, man.
And for the work that I'm doing.
He's waving a Starbucks around you. Meanwhile, while he's talking to the camera.
You must have gambling debts.
To reach the largest amount of people. So speaking of free speech, right? I thought the first person interview, no brainer, Elon Musk, the man who calls himself a free speech absolutist. I asked him to do it. He willingly agreed to the interview. Throughout our conversation, I kept reiterating to him that although it was tense at times, I thought it was good for people to see and hear our exchange and that they would learn from our conversation.
Although it was tense at times. Whatever. So it sounds like he may have, you know,
whatever,
had more than just the ketamine question that bugged Elon.
You know, Don, there's all this evidence out there that what Elon likes. Elon likes to go on the Joe Rogan show and have his balls licked.
Just get deep-throated. Jesus Christ. That's
what you should have done. You should have got out the knee pads if you want to keep that job.
I mean, it must be hard having all those ideas bouncing around in your head all the time.
You know what kills me?
It's right, like, Joe?
Yeah, well...
For someone who's obviously like got a lot of room where no ideas are bouncing around.
This, to me, is a theme that we have lately. It's people working with authoritarian types or right-wing nut jobs, and you expect them to not lie to you, not be insane. And then when they are insane, it's some kind of news story. You know what I mean? I don't know what. So, what's the news here, Don? Elon lied. Wow. His Tesla sucks. His Tesla put Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law in a pond and killed her.
Elon, trying to save face, said his approach was basically just CNN, but on social media, which doesn't work, as evidenced by the fact that CNN is dying. And instead of it being the real Don Lemon, it was really just Jeff Zucker talking through Don. Uh-oh. Right.
Oh, I see. It sounds like
Jeff Zucker, the Jew, you mean? Talking through Don, so lacked authenticity.
This is a story about a respected news anchor, a guy that has been a journalist for a long time, deciding to work with some anti-Semitic asshole because he wants a pile of fucking money. And now that he fucked him on his first show, I mean, are we supposed to feel bad for Don Lemon? Why did you work with him?
Is this the real Keith Olbermann?
I think it is
the real Keith Olbermann. Responded to Elon. Is this Jeff Zucker in the room with us right now? Ketamine Clyde?
I wonder what Don Lemon's net worth is. I mean, does he have net worth? He must be.
Well, he made millions.
He made millions on CNN. Why are you sucking Elon's dick and doing a show with him?
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, but you took the deal. It's crazy. You're legitimizing this anti-Semitic fuck on Twitter. He gave Tucker Carlson a job and you took the same thing. I would be so embarrassed.
Drudge Report. House passes TikTok block.
Oh, God.
Looks like it's not going to really fly in the Senate, though. The House, the crazy House, approved a bill Wednesday calling for China, tech giant ByteDance to divest TikTok, the popular social video app will effectively be banned in the U.S. The measure, this is bipartisan. The measure passed with a resounding 352-65 vote.
This is crazy because I think this, I don't understand I understand TikTok is owned by China and they might be doing weird shit with our data, right?
Yes.
But if they ban this, this is going to cost Joe Biden in the fucking voting booth. It's going to hurt him. This is crazy. Well, did the Democrats not want to win in November? This is nuts.
The legislation called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act was introduced by Representatives Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin, and Raja Krishnamurti from Illinois, a Democrat, on the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. 2 days later, House members on the Energy and Commerce Committee voted unanimously to approve the bill, which refers to TikTok as a threat to national security because it is controlled by a foreign adversary.
Right. And this will be good for the Trump campaign because Donald Trump.
No, he wants it.
No, really.
Mad at him.
He just won't say. He'll come out. He just won't be.
No, he said it's a bad idea. And that's why some of the crazy Republicans are upset with Trump because he's saying he doesn't think they should ban TikTok.
Right. Absolutely. And this is why it's a bad idea.
Well, he did make how much from China? How many millions from China?
This is going to cost the Democrats in the election. Absolutely.
The bill now heads to the Senate, where it faces an uncertain future as senators appear divided about the legislation and other federal and state-led efforts to ban TikTok have stalled. A TikTok spokesperson said the process was secret and the bill was jammed through for one reason. It's a ban. We are hopeful the Senate will consider the facts, listen to their constituents, and realize the impact on the economy. 7 million small businesses and 170 million Americans use our service.
That's what I'm saying. It's like our party doesn't want to win. You don't want to win. That's what this is about. Don't do this, please. It's a do it after the election or something like that. This is a bad idea.
President Biden, who created an official TikTok account in February as part of his election campaign, has previously said he would sign the bill if it's passed.
What the fuck?
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre acknowledged that the White House is providing technical support in the crafting of the legislation. She said, once it's on legal standing and it's in a place where we can get out of Congress, then the president would sign it.
They're going to take away TikTok. They're going to take away Facebook and Twitter and your iPhone. They're going to take away everything.
You have to come to truth.
My God. I don't know. This is crazy.
Although House members who drafted the bill previously said it does not ban TikTok, the legislation in its current form requires ByteDance to divest TikTok within roughly 6 months in order for the app to remain available in the United States. If the bill is enacted, app store owners such as Apple and Google, along with internet hosting companies, would be prohibited from supporting TikTok and other apps that are linked to ByteDance.
You know, every report I've heard about this, you know, it always includes a personal story of someone's business that uses TikTok to exist. And without TikTok, they wouldn't have their business. And so, like, Joe Biden has all this great shit, this great economic shit that he's talking about, and here's a great point for the other side just to hammer him with, and I hate it. I don't even know. Is TikTok a danger to us? It might be. I don't know.
But haven't they opened their source code and shit like that for scrutiny? Haven't they they said you're welcome to check our apps and for any kind of spy kind of stuff? And I don't want to defend them. I'm sure there might be something shady
I'm not defending them either,
right?
I'm thinking about this the way everyone should be thinking about lots of things. Will this help Donald Trump get elected, or will it won't? And it obviously will help. This will help. This is a good thing for Donald Trump. If it gets banned, he'll love it. And he'll say, oh, evil Joe Biden took your TikTok. Jesus.
So that's the headline there. We'll see what happens in the Senate. There's a lot of questions in the Senate. So
yeah,
we shall see if that happens.
And it's nuance, right? All people will understand is Joe Biden took their TikTok. They won't understand the other shit. They won't give a fuck.
Those are your headlines. I'm actually very upset about the headlines. Blatantly ignoring.
Yes.
A significant universe-shattering headline.
Right.
We're about to visit more problems on the Supreme Court. Just give us we've got a minute or two here before the break. I'm going to hold you. What's going to happen? You're going to go to the Supreme Court this week?
Yeah, this is big, everybody. This is what we've been waiting for. The lawyers gave me this to read there this morning. It's a petition for a writ of certiorari. And this was the case that we started in Arizona for injunctions against the machines across the country. We started with Arizona. It was Mark Fincham and Carrie Lake were the plaintiffs. It's very similar to the Curlin case in Georgia that just went to trial in January. But ours was dismissed on standing and said the claims were speculative. Now that was appealed to the Ninth Circuit in Arizona and it was affirmed. The lawyers were sanctioning, including Alan Dershowitz, which I had hired for this case. This isn't just some little tinfoil hat case. This is huge.
Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah, isn't that guy from
Epstein?
Right.
He only got massages, though.
Yeah.
Remember.
Is Mike Lindell on that list?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Why would
it? Doesn't seem like his vibe.
Really?
just some little tinfoil hat case. This is huge. And by law, the law allows us now to bring additional evidence because it was dismissed on standing. So this this new evidence is the most explosive evidence ever. Just in the last 2 months, we got this, everybody. Yeah. The lawyers are excited.
2 months. So he's had the evidence for 2 months. If it was so explosive, you run to the New York Times.
Oh, yes.
You run to the Washington Post. You run to Fox.
No.
Or run to fucking Newsmax. Run to whatever alleged
this guy's
news organization you want to run to, and you go with it. They vet they take a look at the evidence. They say, "Oh my God, this evidence might be real. Holy crap, this is the biggest headline in the universe."
And, or you pay somebody. You say, "Listen, this evidence is a real thing. It'll hold up. And if anybody can, and if anybody wants to challenge it, you want to discredit this, I'll pay you $5 million."
This is probably the same kind of bullshit that is what they show evidence where something might have, could have happened.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a vulnerability that was recently discovered, and it shows that they might have had the possibility to, you know, or something like that. But there was no evidence that that happened.
That's like saying you could arrest someone for that. That person might have murdered that other person if they had the opportunity, but they didn't.
Oh, yeah.
But just to be on the safe side, we'll arrest them.
Or in the like First Amendment audits that I watch and shit, the cops that are the bad kind, the bad, corrupt, evil, bully motherfuckers.
Yes.
Will say, they'll get a call. Hey, there's a guy walking up and down the sidewalk with a camera. Right?
Right, right.
There's no crime there in any capacity.
Yeah. He's a photographer.
A public sidewalk. You could take pictures of whatever you can see, your eye can see.
That's right.
And the cops will show up and they'll even say, they'll say, "Well, do you suspect me of a crime?" "Well, I don't know." "Am I being detained?" "Yes, you are." "On what crime?" "That's what we're trying to figure out." These are quotes. I mean, very frequent quotes from bad cops who have,
or cops in general.
You can't,
bad cops.
And even in a stop and ID state like Florida, 901.151 that says that you have to have reasonable articulable suspicion.
Yay.
That a crime, that there's that C word.
Yes.
That a crime has been, is about to be, or is being committed. And if they say, walk up to you and say, "No crime, we know you're not committing a crime."
Then what are you doing here?
Then stop talking to me.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
And you don't get my ID.
Yes. And by the way, if there is a crime, we know from a story we did sometime last week that they have about an 11% chance of solving it. You should, and the vehicles these people get to drive around in.
It's a
please
revenue generator in many, crazy, if not most cases. Police forces are just there to earn money for the state to grab people and shake them down for cash.
Sometimes I feel like until we wake up to the fact that that Black Lives Matter was right, that these people need to be fucking defunded, that we're not going to get anywhere in a society without that, without these pigs. Right, right. These pigs are sucks on society. That's all they are.
Happy birthday, Ryan, on Twitter.
Oh, thank you. Oh, shit.
Thanks, David.
Oh, thanks, David.
No, David's got a great point here. TikTok is the number one portal for disseminating lies to American young people. TikTok is the reason Americans think Joe Biden created the border crisis and Biden caused COVID. That's very true. The misinformation and disinformation is heavy on the TikTok.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that could be an issue? Trump would.
Thanks, David.
Yeah. But do you think that's a danger, though? Like, if they ban that, that all of a sudden is just an issue that this orange fuck can use. And he'll talk about it however he wants. And then Joe Biden is over here stuck in the weeds explaining why they're banning it and the details of which aren't very sexy. But then Trump has this easy fucking job saying, "Oh, Biden's evil because he banned TikTok." You know what I mean? It's a tough argument for our side, and it's an easy one for theirs.
So there you go. That's Mike Lindell. Well, he's got a little bit more here. We got sidetracked.
Yeah.
In the last 2 months, we got this, everybody. The lawyers are excited. The whole world's going to watch us this coming Friday on the steps of the Supreme Court, 3 p.m. We're going to hand deliver this to the world, Steve. It's going to be the biggest thing ever. And we are going to save this country.
We're going to what?
Save okay, hang country. On. I want you.
We're going to save this country.
And the guy with all the information on why Trump should be president is on the phone, and the guy on the radio is like, just hang on 1 second. What are you hanging on for?
Yeah, Mike Lindell knows the score. Mike Lindell knows the score. He's been on how many times has he coddled Mike Lindell's bullshit? But you could kind of tell that Steve is even like, well, you know, you don't seem to have a lot of like real evidence here. Like, Steve knows what's going on.
Yeah.
He knows Lindell's full of shit, or he would have led with that. That right. would have been the headline. Right. Breaking news. We're going right to Mike Lindell, everybody.
It feels like
instead
Mike,
of, oh, yeah, yes. you got something going on Friday, don't you?
Yeah. It seems like he's winding up to go to MyPillow.com, use coupon code. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He's trying to sell the remaining few MyPillows that are left. In. He probably has a ton of them. Is he sitting on a lot of inventory?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He better sell that shit. He's going to have some pretty big, significant fines to pay.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you can pay him in memory foam. That's what it is, right? It's just foam.
Yes. What is this about the stock market? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Also, those are your headlines, and what I think is the far bigger headline.
Yes.
That none of the mainstream media is covering.
Well, if it's true, it would be, wouldn't it?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is Mike Lindell on TikTok? I bet he is.
I would bet he's on TikTok. Hey, everybody. They took my phone. Why is it Harvey's?
Hey, David, but if they ban TikTok, where are you going to watch those videos where people are in the middle of the woods making those tiny homes? You know what I mean? Those cabins. What, the dog farted?
Evicted for farting, yeah.
I'm going to grab a soda. But you know what I mean? That where were those, what are they, ASMR videos of people building cabins?
Oh, yeah.
Where are we going to get those?
Also in the news, well, China's right. China is warning proposed TikTok ban will come back to bite the U.S. I think it's right.
I think we live in a time. I just am terrified Donald Trump's going to get reelected in.
Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin.
Yes.
Condemned the proposed ban. He said, although the United States has never found evidence that TikTok threatens U.S. national security, it has not stopped suppressing TikTok.
Right. Okay.
Well, and that's where I just need to learn more about it, to be honest with you, because as far as I remember, it was the Republicans at first that were screaming, we got to get rid of this.
Yeah. Well.
And then there were a bunch of things where they're like, you got to do this, you got to do that. And if I remember correctly, TikTok did. Like, they did say, okay, here, they separated.
Yes.
From the main corporation, and they created ByteDance, right? And things like that. So I'm not saying it's not happening, but I don't think there's any evidence that it's been doing that.
But let's say there is evidence. The evidence is going to be some technical bullshit that you won't be able to describe. How do you explain that to the masses who are pissed at you that you banned TikTok?
Right.
And now they're not going to vote for you because you ruined their fucking business. It's a horrible thing, but like, I'm afraid it would hurt him in the voting booth. I really, God.
They also, we've got, did the Don Lemon story.
Jeez, Don. You got to go on Twitter to get a job. Somebody hire fucking Don Lemon, for fuck's sake. I think he's very good. MSNBC doesn't have a spot for him. God.
He's kind of an asshole, though, isn't he? I mean, he's like not good to work with and insulting to women that work with him and shit. Like,
oh,
dismissive
I didn't know that.
Of women. Yeah. Like,
jeez.
Didn't he get into a fight with somebody on the air and was just a complete asshole about it or something.
Maybe he's a good fit for Twitter.
We've got it says Elon launches bizarre attack on Don Lemon.
This is
an
bizarre
attempt to explain why he canceled their X deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can't. I mean, X business X account.
Yes.
Came out with a ridiculous statement that was like, you know, we reserve the right to not do business with people we don't want to, kind of a thing. It's like, but you announced it, you assholes. You were all into it.
Hey, Elon, what do you care? You're an authoritarian. You don't have to explain your actions.
I mean, he doesn't care.
You don't give a fuck. Don Lemon offended you. He offended your vanity or whatever, and you fired him. That's it. You're a little pussy. We understand.
There's another story, and this is one of the headlines earlier on CNN. Many Republicans skip House retreat amid party turmoil. Remember, Mike Johnson had that one retreat where people were complaining that it was some fucking religious festival.
Yes,
where he was reading from the Bible and all that bullshit.
Dude, you heard what Madison Cawthorn said? They have orgies and cocaine parties, yeah. Mike. They're not into the Bible.
They're like, well, we talk like we are, but we don't really do that Mike. What's wrong with you?
This is what happens when you get a fifth string Republican flunky as your Speaker of the House you never heard of.
Hampered by infighting and bogged down with funding negotiations, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, has been dealt another blow as a number of his Republican colleagues indicated they won't attend a House GOP retreat. The annual retreat used to discuss policy and hold debates is scheduled, I'm sure.
More like used to spread herpes and sex traffic, probably.
Is scheduled to take place at the Greenbrier Resort on Wednesday and Thursday in West Virginia, and will be the first with Johnson at the helm.
Ooh.
But there will be a lot of empty seats at the resort, as a number of Republicans have rejected their invitations.
No. Yay.
Some publicly and some privately.
Ooh, you know what? You better pare back on the Ambien. There's not going to be as many.
Fewer than 100 Republicans have said they will be at the retreat, less than half the total of 219 representatives in the House. The keynote speaker, Ryan.
Nine!
Fox Business's Larry Kudlow.
Nine! Oh, yes.
That idiot who hasn't been right, I don't know, since ever, dropped out the last minute, further throwing the event into disarray. Even Larry Kudlow was like, fuck this shit.
Hold on a second. Larry Kudlow up or not showing up somewhere can ruin an event?
No, I think it's a harbinger of.
Oh, yes. How much time was Larry Kudlow going to do on the mic? What does he do?
Keynote speaker. Who knows?
The keynote speaker is Larry Kudlow. People aren't going because this sucks. It sucks. Get Chuck Norris or Jim Caviezel. Mel Gibson should be your keynote. That guy, I might go watch him speak for an hour. Larry Kudlow, please. Snooze fest.
Meanwhile, with Ken Buck saying that he's done with it, he's quitting. Fuck it, he's not even going to finish out his term. There have been a series of resignations, shrinking the party's slim majority, and George Santos.
Yes.
Involuntary resignation.
Right.
And public dissent from some of his colleagues who said they are considering moving for a discharge petition against him. So they're threatening to McCarthy him.
Hell yes. Hell yes. They have to do the circular firing squad, right?
But I think it's a little different now because now I think even the scummiest of the scumbags, except maybe like Matt Gaetz.
That's ours.
Right. And Boebert and MTG and Gosar. Boebert. None of them would want to do, none of the Republicans want to do the job because they see what's going on.
Right.
That you can't win because of many of the said idiots I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. What happened to that guy that hit the gavel real hard? I thought that was
Mick something.
Go get Mick Fuckface. He seemed good. He was very, committed. I mean, the way he brought that hammer down, Peace through strength.
The Colorado Republican Ken Buck on Tuesday announced he will resign from Congress next week, said the chamber has devolved into somewhere where there is bickering and nonsense.
Bickering?
It is the worst year of 9 years and 3 months I've been in Congress. And having talked to former members, it's the worst year in 40, 50 years to be in Congress.
That's funny to me. He's describing what's going on in Congress as bickering. But if you think about what the GOP is doing, they're like trying to end the world. They don't want to fund the war in Ukraine. They want Russia to take over. But they're bickering, too.
He says, but I'm leaving because I think there's a job to do out there. This place has just devolved into this bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that. Yes. Isn't that true? Bickering.
Pundits are saying that Republicans not showing up for the event would prove challenging for Johnson in regard to his need to try to build consensus and unity within the party.
Didn't Boebert and MTG beat the fuck out of each other in the bathroom once?
Allegedly, there was an altercation. I don't know if they were bickering. A throwdown. Yeah,
they're bickering in there. Sometimes they bicker. Sometimes Matt Gaetz waddles around Congress and shows pictures of underage women that he's been with naked. Right? He does that, and then there's bickering.
Ken Buck said, this retreat comes at a time when Trump clinched the nomination and sealed his control of the RNC, which this week saw the purge of up to 60 staff who would have crucial roles in playing, in garnering much needed grassroots votes in rural areas.
Ugh,
well, geez. Which is the other story is Laura Trump already.
Yes.
The long knives came out. They got rid of a shit ton of people.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of these people were still kind of loyal to Trump. And they're like, what the fuck is going on?
This guy is a lunatic. He just had Viktor Orban to his house.
He's just going to milk the RNC for every dime it can.
Absolutely.
Every single cent that goes into the Republican Congress. If you donate
yes.
to the RNC to think your senator is going to benefit, it ain't going to happen. Every cent is going to go to Trump, and you know it. He's going to punish people that are running that won't suck his dick.
Yes.
If there's a Republican that has, you know, that's running for a House seat, Trump won't fund him.
Yeah.
Right?
And maybe he'll fund another person who's crazy that will lose.
But they're already primary, you know, I mean, if they're already primaried out or not.
Right. Right.
But regardless, he won't support him.
It's not an abstract thing when people say Trump is running to stay out of prison, to stay out of jail. That's true. That is absolutely.
That's his only hope. Yeah.
And this is evidence of this. Laura Trump, didn't she actually say out loud that we want to use RNC money?
Well, the people want to help President Trump with these political
people,
attacks.
His people want all kinds of crazy things, and it's not necessarily good. The people.
Ken Buck said, it also comes at a time when GOP members are running their own races for office, and some GOP members are resigning their seats. It thus seems, oh no, this is the pundit. It thus seems that there continue to be factions and divisions in the party at a time that it needs to build consensus and unity. With just under a half of the House GOP caucus planning on attending, Speaker Johnson will need to work hard to build that consensus.
Ken Buck, did that guy endorse Trump back in 2016, in 2020?
Oh, I'm sure.
Sure. This is the Frankenstein you made, and now he's taking your money. This is the blood-sucking monster you created, and you can't come and get it, and now he's eating you, you dumb shits.
Meanwhile, some of the ones that have already publicly said they're not going. Nancy Mace, Kelly Armstrong, Tim Burkett, Matt Gaetz.
Not going?
Not going.
Well, he's probably got other plans.
Oh, but the Bahamas with a 14-year-old.
Rubio. And
Mark Green, Dusty Johnson, Stephanie Bryce, Dave Joyce, Mark Molinaro.
The GOPs. Exactly. Way to stand up for yourselves. I'm not going to our retreat. a big deal. Big deal. Who cares? Yes. Wait, that's quite a, wow. What a sacrifice.
Which, by the way, comes not that long after the guy, what's his name? Let me see. I have that story, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Republican leaving Congress over rumors.
Yes. Oh.
Republican Representative Matt Rosendale announced last Friday that he's planning to leave Congress over, quote, defamatory rumors.
Oh.
He said he will be withdrawing from the House race. He previously announced he was backing out of the Senate race shortly after launching his campaign.
Yes.
Quote, since the announcement, I've been forced to have law enforcement visit my children because of a death threat against me and false and defamatory rumors against me and my family. This has taken a serious toll on me and my family. Additionally, it has caused a serious disruption to the election for the next representative of Montana's 2nd District.
So he came out against Trump and now he's getting threats?
Wait, there's more than one district in Montana?
That's crazy.
There can only be like two, right? I mean, seriously. There.
But he's against Trump and now he's getting threats.
Is this the guy, though, that... Who was the one that Matt Gaetz went after and was making comments like, you know, basically, we all know you're gay or something like, you know.
I don't know.
Is it this guy? Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. He planned to run for the Senate and win both the primary and general election. However, the day I announced, Trump then announced he was endorsing a different candidate. I have long been a supporter of the president and remain so, but I've been forced to calculate what my chances of success would be with Trump supporting my opponent.
Yeah.
Rosendale was at that point planning on taking on Democratic Senator John Tester. Last month, Trump endorsed Tim Sheehy, for the Montana's Senate race.
Okay.
Trump said, I also respect Matt Rosendale and was very happy to endorse him in the past and will endorse him again in the future should he decide to change course and run for his congressional seat. But in this instance, Tim is the candidate who's currently best positioned to defeat lazy John Tester. I think that's probably why it was. Probably the polls were showing that this other guy had a better chance of beating Tester. And Trump is just like, you know, how loyal Trump is.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump demands unwavering, unquestioning loyalty. But he is loyal to 0.0 people.
And he makes it, you know, it's weird to me. These Republicans are like, well, I spoke out against Trump. Now I'm getting all these threats. And it's like, Donald Trump says all this nasty anti-trans, anti-gay shit. And then because of that, all these hate crimes happen. It's hard for me to feel bad for these Republicans that stood by and will endorse all this shit. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're getting death threats. Big deal.
On February 26th, Politico reported that Rosendale's office threatened legal action against former North Dakota Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp after she alleged on a podcast that the Montana representative dropped out of the Senate race because of a rumor that he, quote, impregnated a 22-year-old staff person.
Jeez.
Jeez. Rosendale's office unequivocally denied it. This is 100% false, defamatory. Former Senator Heitkamp will be hearing from our lawyers soon.
Right.
But he did quit the race.
Yeah.
So.
Jeez, the Democrats are so boring compared to this.
Really?
I mean, really, this.
I mean, we have Menendez, who should be in jail and probably will be.
Yeah, he will be, probably.
What else have we got? Look at the time flying. Thanks for joining us. Join us on Friday, Faithless Friday.
Jeebus!
Always an open invite for the Lord and Savior to make an appearance. Mm-hmm. You want me to believe?
Show me a...
Walk across the bird bath and step into the window.
What if Jesus was tinier than we expected?
Oh.
Can he be invisible?
He could be what he wants, right? He's God.
Okay. I didn't know.
And has been.
That's right.
Invisible for
maybe Shelby's,
a couple millennia.
Maybe Shelby's Jesus and we don't know it. Are you Jesus?
She's out there, probably. She's out there. Licking her butt. Also in the news, I've got this story here. This is, oh yeah, Trump, speaking of.
Okay.
There's this new book coming out. Is shedding light on the lengths Trump's campaign went to find fraud in the 2020 election.
Okay.
A big business cropped up to help Trump try to validate his false claims of voter fraud in the 2020 election, according to someone who was there to profit from it. Where am I reading from? Business Insider. Software engineer Ken Block told Business Insider ahead of the release of his forthcoming book, Disproven, that he was paid $750,000
yes,
to conduct research that would verify the existence of mass voter fraud in swing states, including Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, and jeez, Pennsylvania. Despite the massive payday, he found none.
What did, yeah.
He even disproved claims of voter fraud, some of them within minutes. Pointing to incomplete data that was wrongfully interpreted as fraudulent, that voters with the same name had been counted as duplicate votes. Two John Smiths, there can be.
Yes.
And that data for mail-in ballots was wrongly flagged.
Right. Right.
He said he wasn't pressured to misinterpret his findings, but Trump's team did not want to hear it when he brought them the news that the fraud couldn't be substantiated.
You have to bring the answer the dear leader wants. Right. That's what you have to do. And next time, if he wins this election and we have another election, and I'm using air quotes, he'll get that information and he'll stay there.
In one instance, Block confirmed that he proved one of the claims behind a Trump team lawsuit in Pennsylvania was wrong, which immediately ended the conference call he was on.
And then he got pushed out a window, right?
Representatives for Trump did not immediately respond for requests for comment, blah, blah, blah. All told, he found fewer than 200 duplicate mail-in ballot votes had been fraudulently cast from all of the swing states combined.
How many?
200.
200. So how many voters are we talking about? If you say all the swing states, is that's a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. Seven, eight states, yeah.
200 is not much.
Correct.
So, geez. Well, that's good news. Is that good news? That there's no voter fraud? That's good news, right?
In his book, Block writes, former President Trump has turned losing with grace into losing with disgrace. He has spawned a group of losing candidates who would rather howl about voter fraud without justification than display the leadership qualities demanded by the positions for which they ran.
Right.
Some of these failed candidates, I'll interject, Carrie Lake. Some of these failed candidates
forgot about her.
Who make meritless accusations of voter fraud don't seem to understand their own claims. Others spurn factual accuracy. For those right, for those folks,
you're spurning. Excuse me, the term spurning factual. You just say they're fucking liars. Spurning factual accuracy, yeah, is fucking lying, right?
For those folks, the end goal has nothing to do with winning an election. It's about raising money or profile,
yes,
or worse, undermining our republic.
Right. That's right. Put down the thesaurus, whoever wrote this.
I actually think Disproven was released yesterday, so crabdiving.com/Amazon if you want to get this dude's book.
Oh, okay.
Or go to Audible.
Right.
So there you go. This guy's book is basically saying what we all knew.
Quit spurning the facts, everyone.
But he made money. And, you know, the funny thing is I read a different version of the article previously, yeah, of the story, I mean.
Yeah.
And he demanded his money up front.
Yeah.
So he got his $750,000 up front.
Right. Shit.
He knew that, you know, this is Trump.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And what happened?
Well, it wasn't enough, I guess, to find the spurned information. Yeah. What was that term? Spurned factual? Spurned. Just lying. He's just saying a fancy word for lying, aren't you?
Spurned factual accuracy.
He spurned factual accuracy. Sometimes I think that the media just doesn't want to say people lie. Right. He lied, and that's okay. If someone lies, it's quite all right to say they fucking lied. They're spurning accuracy, guys.
Trump's Salon's version says Trump's campaign paid experts $750K to prove voter fraud. He debunked some of their claims in minutes.
Man, that guy has a pretty good hourly rate then, right?
Yeah.
Shit, man.
Well, and he even said he couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well,
some of them where it's like he looked at it, it took him 2 minutes. He's like, this is bullshit.
Well, it's like the guy that that won Mike Lindell's challenge of $5 million disprove his data from China. Right. He looked at it for like a half hour or something. Not even that. He could tell it was some weird compressed file.
Yeah, it was just nonsense. And then when they figured out what it was, some kind of encrypted Microsoft Word spreadsheet.
Oh, how horrible.
That had nothing in it of consequence. It just had names and dates and stuff. But there was nothing. There was no fraud. There was no proof.
There was nothing that would sway the outcome of the 2020 election?
Right.
Too bad, Mike. Almost, right?
Best of luck to you.
That was a good attempt, though. He almost did it. I mean,
so, you know, we'll certainly be covering Mike Lindell on the steps of the Supreme Court on Friday.
I'm worried about him.
As he's running in his latest bullshit.
Do you think Mike Lindell will fall off the wagon?
If he hasn't already, we're assuming.
He might have, man. He's fucking nuts. He's probably at Hardee's right now or Arby's. I'm on Meat Mountain.
Also I've got here, look at time flying, coming up on the top of the hour.
That's right.
Here's something inspirational for us.
Okay.
I am a Bible believing Christian.
Oops, wait a second. This is Mike Johnson.
Ooh, yes.
I am a Bible-believing Christian. Someone asked me today in the media, they said, it's curious. People are curious. What does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun? I said, well, go pick up a Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview.
Forgive me, Dr. Jacobs. Are you an MD?
A PhD.
A PhD?
Yes, sir.
In psychology?
No, sir.
Theology?
No.
Social work?
I have a PhD in English literature.
I'm asking because on your show, people call in for advice and you go by the name Dr. Jacobs on your show. And I didn't know if maybe your listeners were confused by that and assumed you had advanced training in psychology, theology, or healthcare.
I don't believe they are confused, no, sir.
Good. I like your show. I like how you call homosexuality an abomination.
I don't say homosexuality is an abomination, Mr. President. The Bible does.
Yes, it does. Leviticus
18:22.
Chapter and verse. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions while I had you here. I'm interested in selling my youngest daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. She's a Georgetown sophomore, speaks fluent Italian, always cleared the table when it was her turn. What would a good price for her be? While thinking about that, can I ask another? My chief of staff, Leo McGarry, insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly says he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or is it okay to call the police? Here's one that's really important, because we've got a lot of sports fans in this town. Touching the skin of a dead pig makes one unclean, Leviticus 11:7. If they promise to wear gloves, can the Washington Redskins still play football? Can Notre Dame? Can West Point? Does the whole town really have to be together to stone my brother John for planting different crops side by side? Can I burn my mother in a small family gathering for wearing garments made from two different threads? Think about those questions, would you? One last thing. While you may be mistaking this for your monthly meeting of the ignorant tight-ass club, in this building, when the president stands, nobody sits.
Boom!
Which Shane is that? Because we played a couple.
Martin.
not
Charlie.
Sure, it's not Charlie.
It was Martin, yeah.
Well, we played Charlie Sheen last week.
We did play a Charlie Sheen clip.
It's weird. No Emilio Estevez in there?
I'll try to find something from Emilio.
God, that Charlie Sheen's one of my favorite presidents. I would have picked him maybe over,
Yeah. How good was West Wing, though? I mean, it was just such a good show.
That was great. It was great.
Too woke.
Too woke. Wasn't it all white people? Yes.
Kind of. Didn't they have a black friend, maybe?
Mm-mm. I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that on the, on Elon's, Nazi machine.
He put that threat. He put that,
he allowed
up?
That one to go. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure it's been banned now.
Thank you. Thank you. What is, Elon? He's not the great leader. What is he?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. He's like the Grand Kugel or something.
Yeah. I don't know. A rich asshole.
I tell you what, I bet Elon's like, ooh, I want to find one of these CrossFit places where I can meet some white supremacists, too.
Where are those?
Your kid is the name of an algorithm, right? What's his kid's name? It's a fucking...
Yeah, X-A-E...
Which kid is this?
Something.
Let me get out my slide rule.
I've got... this is horrific.
Okay.
And very American.
Yes.
FBI agents raided a federal women's prison this week in California, even.
Jeez.
That is so plagued by sexual abuse, it is known among inmates and workers as Rape Club.
Good God. Jesus.
The action coincided with the ouster of the new warden from the Federal Correctional Institution in Dublin, California. Warden Art Dulgov, just a few months into his tenure, and three other top managers were removed from their positions by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Dulgov was the third new leader of the low security, by the way, prison.
Yes.
Since Warden Ray Garcia, who along with more than half a dozen employees was convicted of sexually assaulting multiple women serving time there.
My God. What the fuck?
Jeez. This isn't Bulgaria. This isn't South America.
Well, it's our.
I apologize to Bulgaria and South America, actually. This is.
It's our Department of Justice.
Horrific.
Right? It's our DOJ.
Yeah.
They suck lately, don't they?
Dulgov and his staff are accused of retaliating against an inmate who testified in January in a class action lawsuit alleging horrific abuse and exploitation at the prison with rampant sexual assault of incarcerated persons.
Man.
The developments are the latest twist in a years-long scandal surrounding the facility. Since the FBI investigation was launched and resulted in arrests in 2021, 8 FCI Dublin employees have been charged with sexually abusing inmates.
8 employees that worked at that prison? Out of how many employees worked there?
I don't know. 5 have pleaded guilty, 2 convicted by juries. The latest is slated to go on trial this year. In last year, Garcia, the previous warden,
yes,
was sentenced to 70 months in prison.
70 months? I mean, that's a long time, but not enough for this.
For sexually abusing incarcerated women and lying to the FBI as part of a cover-up. So, let's get this straight. 5 years-ish, right? 5 years and change?
Yeah. Well, what? Yes.
And what would a normal person get for sexual assault? Multiple sexual assaults. Would they get 5 years?
Well, and also,
or does Warden McFuckface only get 5 years because he was a warden?
Maybe because
he was Popo.
Right. Maybe I don't understand, but it seems to me the Department of Justice is being fucking lazy here because isn't this a conspiracy? Weren't all these people working together to cover up all the... Why not a RICO thing then?
There you go.
Why not that? Why aren't you doing that? And wouldn't that give you greater powers to You should shut the fucking prison down. That's what you do. You turn it into a rape club. Shut it the fuck down. Burn it.
Legal experts say what happened at the federal prison is indicative of the worst aspect of institutions with abusers in their midst. And one could argue, why would someone go to be a prison guard?
You know, I know one person that was a guard at a prison here. At the jail. And, you know, she took the job and she needed a job. I think she lasted a year or so. Oof. But it's horrible. And the problem is, people good don't, it's like,
you don't last.
No, and people with compassion just don't last, and they won't do that fucking job. It's crazy. And to me, like, I don't know, this is supposed to make us think, like, this is the worst example, and there's not a lot of this going on, but you know there is. You know this is the tip of the fucking iceberg.
One attorney said there's no accountability with some public entities, and the sexual abuse keeps festering and festering until it blows up. They tend to shuffle the offenders. Officials, so they're like the Catholic Church. Yes. Officials in prisons can be the worst because they are so jaded that all the complaints fall on deaf ears about the guards.
Yes.
He raped me. Oh, whatever.
Right. And then there's a conspiracy. They say, okay, this person, we're going to move them. What if we move this rapist guard to this other place? You know, move their shifts around. It's definitely a conspiracy to cover things up, to obstruct justice, I would think.
FBI officials didn't specify what triggered Monday's raid at the prison. An attorney for the federal government said in a court filing, comes on the heels of allegations of retaliation against staff. According to the filing in the class action suit, the warden transferred an inmate who was a witness in a lawsuit against the prison, violating a judge's court order that witnesses not be moved without court approval.
They do whatever they want in prisons. They do whatever they fucking want in there. They don't give a fuck.
So on Monday, Nancy McKinney, a top regional Bureau of Prisons supervisor, was appointed interim warden of Dublin. She is the fourth person to hold the job since Garcia was removed.
So somebody from within the organization is going to clean it up. That's what that is.
The raid comes as the number of women who have come forward in lawsuits against guards and staff alleging sexual abuse and retaliation is 63. That number, according to attorneys, is expected to surpass 100.
How many people are in that prison? 100. I mean, that's a lot. That's fucking crazy.
Last month, KTVU reported that an incarcerated woman, Rhonda Fleming, was put in the special housing unit, a common prison punishment, and transferred to a facility in L.A. against a judge's orders after she testified about the culture at FCI Dublin during a January hearing in a civil case filed on behalf of incarcerated persons at the prison.
It's crazy.
After learning of the transfer, U.S. District Judge ordered prison authorities to return her to Dublin. In March 2023, the judge referred to the prison's culture of sexual abuse in sentencing Garcia, the former warden, whom she said perpetuated that culture.
Yes.
A federal jury in Oakland found him guilty of 3 counts of sex with an incarcerated person, 4 counts of abusive sexual contact, and 1 of lying to the FBI.
How horrible.
He groped incarcerated women and made them pose for naked photos.
This is insane. This is fuck. They should close this prison the fuck down. Close it down. And you know what? Let's see what these women are in jail for. What are they serving prison terms for? Oh, I'll help you. Drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Possession. Stupid shit.
Get this. In 2022, one-time prison chaplain James Theodore Highhouse was convicted and sentenced to 7 years in prison for sexually assaulting a female inmate at the prison.
Right.
Highhouse engaged in predatory conduct with at least 6 women. From 2014 to 2019, he claimed God had brought them together, quoting the Bible and referencing King David's many wives
Jesus.
As justification of his actions.
Why?
That is the chaplain.
God damn,
at the
guys.
Fucking prison.
Not a drag queen, by the way. I mean, it's just so predictable, isn't it? Is there a youth pastor in there that could interstage laugh and diddle someone, too? I mean, God. Shut that prison down.
Another federal judge said there's a culture of rot at Dublin. It's important to, for the world to see this egregious conduct and see this serious penalty. The class action lawsuit against the Bureau of Prisons alleges that FCI Dublin and other federal agencies failed to prevent, detect, and investigate sexual abuse, placing those being held at the prison at substantial risk of sexual assault.
Failed to detect blah, 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 blah. Or maybe it's conspired to cover up all these fucking crimes. You know?
Right.
It could be that.
The prison also houses transgender and non-binary persons. The lawsuit alleges that even as correctional officers were being sentenced, other guards continued to sexually harass, grope, and assault those being held and subject some individuals to transphobic harassment.
God. It's crazy. I just don't know what to say about this story. All those people are horrible.
In 2019, a U.S. House subcommittee on national security found widespread misconduct in the federal prison system, with officials being shuffled from place to place, just like cops, just like diddling priests.
Yeah. But dude, why not an investigation where you subpoena these emails?
Whose emails?
The emails that say, hey, why don't we move this guard to this place because
they did. I mean, that's how they found out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they found out about the shuffling.
Yeah. Man.
Because there's records. It's like these fucking cops. I mean, it's just such a joke that a cop will be fired for, you know, beating the shit out of somebody. Not charged.
Yeah.
But gets fired. And then skips to the next county over, and you see him in a cop clown suit within weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's horrific. Piggies.
Oh, what is this?
Well, I would vote for Trump before I'd vote for Biden, just because I think with Biden, like he's gone. Like, you know, he's gone. It's, you're going to be relying on his cabinet. And I knew his cabinet would be this fucking sideshow of diversity, and which is exactly what it is. You can't have
Rogan.
That's Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Nah, what a Nazi.
Fucking sideshow of diversity.
That rolls off his tongue so easily. A sideshow of diversity. So he's implying that these diverse people that are in Biden's cabinet aren't human. They're in fact a circus sideshow. So we have what is it? The woman that's all hair. Is that what you have in a sideshow? The tall guy?
Sure.
That's how he sees people of color, or women, or a trans person. Dude, Joe Rogan is supposed to be a comedian. What about George Carlin, you fuck? What about the punching down thing? What about that? Shame. Jesus. Elon, go interview. Have Joe Rogan suck your dick, not Don Lemon. He'll suck it harder and he'll suck it better. God. How gross. That's Joe Rogan?
That was Joe Rogan.
Oh my God. I mean, listen, I'm not shocked when he says crazy shit like that, but that's like, what is that? That's fucking racist.
Well, sure.
That is shit. Gay people are a sideshow. I hear this in comedy a lot. Gay people are ridiculous. Black people are ridiculous. White people are ridiculous. Women are ridiculous. It's so stupid. We're so fucking dumb.
From some real mediocre white people.
It's my birthday, and I want to celebrate all the dumb fucks out there. I see you. I see you, Joe Rogan. You racist fuck. You stupid racist fuck. And everybody wants to be you. All my quote-unquote colleagues want to be you for some fucked up reason. A sideshow. You're the sideshow. You did Fear Factor. What are you fucking talking about? You're famous for people eating handfuls of worms or some shit like that. God, this bro culture.
I'd vote for Trump before I'd vote for Biden.
Who gives a shit? Of course. How is that news? How is that news? A sideshow of diversity.
This meme is great.
God.
Trump. What Biden is doing to me is illegal. Also Trump. Nothing a president does is illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then says, this is how dumb you MAGAs are.
You know, Joe, what's going to happen is, let's say Donald Trump gets elected. You're going to have a buddy that has a podcast, somebody you care about. They're going to say something about the great leader that the great leader finds offensive, and something will happen to that person. Because when the great leader's president, there will be no checks and balances. It won't matter. It won't matter. He will have that person audited. Who knows? Who fucking knows? Anything's possible, and it will bother you at that point. But not until then, because you don't have any empathy. You don't give a fuck, because diversity is a sideshow. It's a sideshow. Anybody not white and male with a dick is a sideshow, apparently. You're the bearded woman. What a fucking idiot. Oh, man. What a quote.
Ben, did you hear RFK?
God, I pretend he doesn't exist.
Junior?
Does he? What, is he no labels? Hey, when is the no labels people announced? That's tomorrow, right?
Do they have someone? I thought
they're announcing Thursday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Those little satanic fucks. Not satanic. We're satanic.
This is, let's see, from, where do I want to read this from? This, RFK Jr.
God.
Has apparently announced a short list of his vice presidential candidate.
Okay.
You okay?
What about the Taco Bell dog? Did you think that one, RFK, is that good?
Independent candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. is considering a short list of candidates for his running mate that includes former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura.
Oh my God.
And New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers. That stupid MAGA piece of shit.
Anti-vaxxer that maybe got some of his teammates sick, right?
Yes. Kennedy said in an interview he would most likely name his VP pick soon. The self-imposed deadline passed in early March with no announcement. And he said today in a post on X that he will announce on March 26th.
Good God. Okay.
A spokesperson for the campaign said he's considering Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura as running mates, along with others on a short list. No other details available.
Is there anyone that didn't do something in their earlier lives, didn't land on their head a bunch? Like Jesse Ventura wrestled. I'm sure he took a few to the head. And Aaron Rodgers, the nature of his job, he has lots of.
Ventura, 72, was elected governor of Minnesota in 1998, becoming the first Reform Party candidate to win statewide office. He served one term, did not seek re-election. If I remember correctly, he was quite ineffectual because he pissed everybody off. He discovered that the governor isn't king.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were disparate factions in the House and the Senate in Minnesota that didn't suck his dick and do everything he commanded.
You know, fuck him. Fuck him. And this, fuck this RFK shit. My God.
Rodgers, a future Hall of Fame quarterback who has won a Super Bowl title and four MVP awards, is expected to return to the field this year after an injury in the first game of the 2023 season kept him on sidelines. Rodgers endorsed Kennedy last year.
Who fucking
after
cares?
After the two bonded over their opposition to COVID vaccine. Ooh. Toe tap. In the bathroom. I hate the vaccine too, so do I.
Who is Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking for? Who does he do now? Is he still at the Packers?
No, he's with the Jets.
Jesus. The Jets?
Yeah.
Was there nobody else that you guys had to get this dumb shit? You wanted a quarterback that... God, is he that good?
You know, he was okay. I don't want to... Just because he's an asshole, I don't want to diminish his sports accomplishments. Fine. But he's got MVP awards and he's got a ring.
You know, I'm just trying to think. There's some of these candidates that are running. I mean, this one guy was a reality show host and lost a lot of money in real estate, like an historic amount of money, and per judge raped someone. And then there's a quarterback. I'm just saying the pool of the Republic, and it's a lot of football people, right? I mean, Herschel Walker just ran for Senate. Anybody else? Anybody else out there? Any other shithead football players want to run for something? It's America. We don't want our smartest. We want people that have been hit in the head so many times at work.
On Tuesday afternoon, Rogers reposted Kennedy's response to Biden's State of the Union address.
Oh, God.
Saying, this is presidential.
Yes, thank you.
Meanwhile, the Democratic National Committee, a senior advisor, Mary Beth Cahill, issued a statement. The Three Stooges reunion, no one was asking for. It's no surprise this is the shortlist, considering the conspiracy theorists doing the choosing.
The Three Stooges.
It's an insult to the Three Stooges.
Yeah. And also, update your reference. But
according to a Quinnipiac University poll released last month, examining a hypothetical race including Biden, Trump, and Kennedy as an independent candidate, 38% of voters said they would support Biden, 37% said they would support Trump, and 15% for Kennedy.
Of who? Of what?
Well, that didn't. I wish they would have said, like, where did they,
of
did
American,
they come
from? Yeah.
Did they come from Biden supporters or Trump supporters? I'm thinking they would lean more Republican. Kennedy's not going to get any Democrats.
Yeah. That's true.
I really think it's going to, the typical Republicans shooting themselves in their tiny little peckers by supporting Kennedy.
When no labels, would they announce that?
And they're going to do the same thing. It's going to the no labels aren't going to pull Biden supporters.
They're not going to pull people that'll say, like, listen, this is a middle of the road person that.
No, because those people probably voted Trump once and then displayed unusual. For a Republican ethics and morality and decided to not vote Trump again.
What would a candidate like Joe Manchin do?
Nothing.
You don't think so?
Again, no, Democrats are not going to vote for him.
Okay.
Do you know any that would consider voting for Joe Funkin' Manchin?
I don't know any Democrats around here necessarily. I mean, my mom.
I don't know how. I don't care.
My brothers.
I don't care how old Biden is.
God, I tell you, I just. America, lately, we are giving. I mean, what if Herschel Walker had won and he was in the Senate?
There you go.
That's a scary prospect.
But we have Tuberville.
Oh, yeah.
We have Marsha Blackburn.
That's true. Enough with these football players, please, and these coaches. Is there nowhere else we can pull from? Come on. Come on. Aaron Rodgers? RFK? God, who else is on the short list?
No,
I
can't wait.
Aaron Rodgers is at the top of the list because his name got said. That means...
Nick Fuentes, I heard.
What about
I'm kidding, by the way.
Who's Hercules? Who's that?
Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah, he's got, I mean, he's probably on there. Kirk Cameron.
What's the time here? 5:20 live almost.
What about a guy from Duck Dynasty? What about that for RFK or No Labels? What about Uncle Saul or that? Remember that guy we used to play?
They were talking about some moron Republican never Trumper from Georgia as being their candidate, and it's just not gonna happen.
More specific, please.
But he's Republican.
But which one? It's a lot. It's all there is in Georgia.
Not never Trumpers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. I was thinking always Trumpers. Well, the governor and the Secretary of State.
So they're thinking those, you think Kemp and Raffensperger didn't vote for Trump in the election that he called them about?
No, I think they voted
for him. Of course they
were. Well, I mean, you know, Kemp and Raffensperger are the reason Stacey Abrams is not the governor there.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
So.
Good news?
Yes.
I mean, a little bit. This is actually shocking to me. But federal courts moved yesterday to make it harder to file lawsuits in front of judges seen as friendly. Judge shopping.
Oh, okay. So you would... I see. So you're looking for a particular area to...
Yeah, let's call them Republicans.
Yes.
Who found the judge in Texas who just so happened to used to head up a forced birth organization.
Oh, yes.
And they took the Mifepristone or whatever, how the fuck you pronounce that?
Mifepristone.
The morning after pill. The,
yes.
The medical... That's not the medical. That's... medically induced abortion pill, one of them.
Are you surprised there was no mifepristone on that White House drug list from the Trump administration?
And they went to him. They went to this judge, Kaczmarek, yes. Who shockingly cited false and proven wrong studies and polls taken on forced birth websites.
God.
As his reasoning.
Oh, we did this,
proof,
right?
That mifepristone was killing women. It was the FDA didn't care about the consequences.
Right.
And we know it's a lie. And we know that that website that he took it from is like a welovefetuses.com, you know, I mean, or something like that.
Let me ask you something. I might be off here. Is this kind of like how Eileen Cann is in charge of the secret doc thing? Like, I guess nobody shopped for her. She just happens to be there in Florida where it happened, right? And it's just very unfortunate. That's just pure bad luck. That's not shopping. Well, I mean, Trump appointed her, though, right?
He did, but that was the sad luck of the draw that we got her.
God.
Unless there were some shenanigans.
I mean, yeah.
Because it's supposed to be...
Well, Trump appointed her, so...
It's supposed to be, you know, you're next in line or they draw lots or something, and somehow...
Well, who knows?
He ended up with the most Trump-friendly judge, one of the most Trump-friendly judges
in
the country.
With sometimes the Democrats lose their minds. Who knows that our DOJ didn't say, well, maybe we should just have Eileen Cannon do this case in the appearance of fairness. So no one can say that her ruling isn't biased. Something fucked up like that might have happened.
So the new policy covers civil suits that would affect an entire state or the whole country. It would require a judge to be randomly assigned, even in areas where locally filed cases have gone before a single judge. Cases are already assigned at random under plans in most of the country's 94 federal district courts, but some plans assign cases to judges in the smaller divisions where the case is filed. In divisions with only one judge, often in rural areas, that means private or state attorneys can essentially pick the judge to hear it.
That's right. They're like, I go to lunch with this guy.
Yeah, so they'll say,
you should hear
it. this Kaczmarek guy is all alone in bumfuck Texas.
Oh, shit.
There's no other judges, so they can't flip a coin. They can't randomize it. So we're gonna file our suit there.
Rich people use our justice system to get great shit, and then poor people use our justice system to end up in jail and get raped by prison guards.
Right. Interest groups of all kinds have long attempted to file lawsuits before judges they see as friendly to their causes, but the practice got more attention after an unprecedented ruling halted approval of abortion medication. That case was filed in Amarillo, Texas, where it was all but certain to go before U.S. District Judge Matthew Kaczmarek, an appointee of Trump, former attorney for religious liberty group,
Nine!
A history of pushing conservative causes.
Nine! They found a Nazi. We got a friendly Nazi here in Amarillo. We'll use that one. Sounds good.
the new policy announced by the U.S. Judicial Conference after its biennial meeting would not apply to cases seeking only local action. It was adopted not in response to any one case, but rather a plethora of national and statewide injunctions.
Yes. Sometimes I feel like we're in the, like, the prequel of The Handmaid's Tale. Like, this is the action leading up to the moment where it started. And then sometimes I feel like we're dipping our toes into the first 15 minutes of the pilot.
In some states, we are.
It's going to be hard. You know, that's such a hard thing for, I think, Americans to understand. Like, they might, you know, think things are fucked up, but they can't imagine them being more fucked up. But start imagining that.
Yeah.
You better vote for Joe Biden, not RFK and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's say that the name Kennedy is paired with a fucking shitbag anti-vaxxer quarterback. Kennedy Rodgers 2024, for real? God.
Also, in the news, you see Bobo is upset. Bobo, the hand job expert.
Yes.
Is
Bobo
upset because the her carpetbag district that she moved to.
Yes.
Where she's running.
Yes.
Is Ken Buck's district.
Yeah.
And he's going to bail.
Right.
And I guess they're going to have a special election.
Okay.
For his seat.
Okay.
And and that screws her because she's in dead last.
Right.
In all of the primaries and whoever wins the special election will probably get the seat again next election.
Yeah.
Boebert serves Colorado's 3rd congressional district, has been campaigning for Buck's seat in Colorado's 4th. She still plans on running for the seat for the 24-26 term. Boebert says Buck is expediting his retirement as an attempt to rig the congressional election against her.
No, Boebert. Buck is expediting his retirement because he doesn't want to lose to a Trumper and he doesn't want to stand and
fight. He's retiring anyway.
Yeah, for his perceived values or something like that. He's done because he can't handle you fucks. That's what's going on.
Ken Buck's announcement yesterday was a gift to the Uniparty. The establishment concocted a swampy backroom deal to try to rig an election. I'm winning by 25 points. She's not.
Hey, didn't your son get busted, like, having sex with someone underage, and then he's running some sort of theft ring or something like that? Car theft, car theft ring.
Breaking into cars, I guess.
Maybe, I don't know. Focus on that, maybe help him with that, maybe.
Forcing an unnecessary special election on the same day as the primary election will confuse voters, resulting in a lame duck congressman on day one and leave the 4th district with no representation for more than 3 months.
Jeez, who cares? Hey, if it's going to be a Republican, that'll be a nice 3 months. Jesus. What? You know, I was thinking about Boebert just now and just my mind wandered to other Republicans. God, some of them are very shitty parents.
Really?
Like I'll tell you the biggest example, Donald Trump. Not a great parent.
Right.
You know? Boebert. Not great. Not good.
So there you go, Bobo making it all about herself.
Bobo.
And saying that obviously he's trying to prevent her from winning.
Is there any place where this person could run Boebert and win so we can keep her in the news?
Well, she'll be on OnlyFans.
Pretty good for headlines. Oh, yes. Her husband was at a bar at a bowling alley showing people, 17-year-old women, the tattoo on his dick, right?
Right, right.
It's like a lot of stuff there. A lot of episodes of the Boebert Show.
We've got
Boebert's going to be like Herschel Walker. It's like they were here and now they're gone.
Fortunately. Although she was here for a while.
Who?
Boebert was here for a while.
Boebert.
Two terms, right? Didn't we had her?
I don't remember.
Something like that.
Did we ever figure out if she helped coordinate this insurrection or we just don't give a shit? Merrick Garland's like, no, we need Robert Kerr to go investigate Biden's documents. We're not looking into that shit with Boebert and all the people giving tours. We don't care about that. We're not really concerned. God.
Here in Florida?
Nine!
Florida education officials and civil rights attorneys.
Yes.
For LGBTQ plus advocates, students, teachers, and parents have settled a 2-year lawsuit filed after the passage of Ron DeSantis's Don't Say Gay bill.
Okay.
Under the terms of the settlement announced, the controversial law that bars classroom instruction of LGBTQ plus issues will remain in place, but teachers and students will now be allowed to discuss those topics on school grounds, so long as they're not part of a lesson plan.
What?
So you can have a picture of your same-sex partner on your teacher's desk.
Yes, yes.
And if somebody asks about it, you could say, that's my same-sex partner, because it's not part of a lesson plan.
If you let's say you're teaching history or something, and you want to take a day and, I don't know, and go over like Harvey Milk. Can you write Harvey Milk in your lesson plan? He's a gay person. He was gay.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, this is no help. This is crazy. That's crazy. It can't be in a lesson plan. Meaning the state doesn't want to endorse that. So what if a kid is offended because somebody talked about something gay? It wasn't in the lesson plan. Can the kid tell on them and then they get in trouble?
Probably. GLSEN, organization that advocates for students and educators, told the news, Yahoo News, in a statement that settlement dismantled the vague and harmful provisions of the original law and will strengthen equality standards for LGBTQ students, families, and education. So,
okay. They had to compromise with these horrible Nazis. Just don't write the word gay in your lesson plan and we'll be okay.
Yeah, previously.
Crazy.
They couldn't. It says now they. This is permissible. Students mentioning their own sexual or gender identity.
Yeah, but before not.
Right. Well, it was intentionally vague enough that they could go after someone. Classroom references to a person's family members and their sexual or gender identity. They can debate among students regarding LGBTQ plus issues so long as it's not part of a lesson plan. Educators displaying photos of LGBTQ family members or referring to a partner or spouse. Isn't that nice?
They can do that.
They can now.
Oh, thank you, great leaders.
They also are going to allow, Ryan, library books that have LGBTQ characters.
Oh,
isn't that good of them?
Yes. Jeez.
But they probably can't do anything in the book. Like, if they talk about making out even with their own same-sex partner, I'll bet the Christo fascist fucks will scream and want it banned.
It's really fucked up that gay people, trans people, like, what about their history in our country? What about gay history? I mean, is that nowhere in any textbook? Is that supposed to disappear? Yeah.
They're allowed to participate in extracurricular activities catering to the LGBTQ plus community.
Okay.
And there will be anti-bullying programs for LGBTQ students. So.
Okay. Well, that's good.
The previous law was championed by conservatives who claimed schools were promoting a liberal agenda. Left some educators, students, and parents and advocates of LGBTQ plus rights on edge about the extent of the law's reach, Opponents said the bill led to confusion about what could be discussed, read, or displayed on school grounds.
Shit. I mean, to me, it's that's good, right? I mean, this is good progress, I guess, for Florida.
I guess, yeah.
But I'm trying to understand, like, they don't want the word gay in their lesson plan because we don't want our public school officials to acknowledge the existence of gay people. That would mean they exist. That to me is...
Well, right.
That is what is happening. And it can't be a part...
And by doing that...
Of the actual class.
By teaching kids that gay people exist, it's the same thing as teaching them how to suck a cock.
Yeah.
According to Alex Jones and according to...
Is this separate but equal to me? I mean, is that what I'm seeing? I mean,
oh, sure.
Some things are allowed in the lesson plan and some things are not. That's what this is. That's what this is. This has to, they have to go farther with this. And it sends a very fucked up message. How do you explain to children that you need to be empathetic? You need to be accepting of your gay friends and your trans friends. However, we cannot write the word gay or anything that mentions trans in our lesson plans, and it won't be in our textbooks. That is a confusing message to me.
What else is going on? We're past the bottom of the hour. We're in the home stretch here, y'all.
I mean, do they do this in France? Is there some province in France where we can talk about gay people, but you cannot write it... No, why is it us? What's wrong with us? Why is it us?
Because of the religious Christo fascist.
God, man.
Nazi fucks. You
shove Leviticus up your fucking ass, right? That's where all the shit is, right?
And Genesis and Exodus and a lot of the earlier ones.
It's just a book, not even well written.
I've got, I copied this from a really good quote. Religion is like a butter knife meant to spread all of the poor people's butter on the rich people's bread.
Religion is a knife in this.
Religion is a butter knife meant to spread all of the poor people's butter on the rich people's bread.
Well, Jesus would say religion is a little sharper than a butter knife.
It's American, a knife. American Jesus.
A knife. I think that's a good... Religion is a knife. That makes sense. It's a weapon. It's essentially a weapon then. It is, right? That's what Trump's using religion as a weapon. It's definitely not. He's not using it as a way to live.
Right?
It's a knife.
We have this one. Could be a Faithless Friday, but this is pretty creepy.
Yay.
Court's contraception ruling is scary sign of what may come.
Shit. Jeez.
A Fifth Circuit, so, you know, consider the source. This is, you know, Texas and...
Right.
A Fifth Circuit ruling upholding a Texas law requiring parental consent for underage teens to access contraception.
Okay.
Gives validity to the argument that Republicans don't know when to stop. Emboldened by the conservative majority on the SCOTUS overturning Roe, conservative activists will keep pushing to curtail contraception, cloaking it in the guise of parental concern for children.
It seems like it's the idea that parents are like, oh my God, I hope my kids aren't using any birth control because I really want to be a grandparent right now.
Is the father black?
Woo!
Because then suddenly they're for abortion.
Oh yes, and they'll get one.
For most Americans, this is a bridge too far. For true believers, it's a goal they believe is within reach. Banning contraception. Let's think about that, everybody.
That's your goal?
Clarence Thomas, the longest serving justice on the Supreme Court at this point, signaled after Roe fell that the right to contraception should be reevaluated along with the right to same-sex marriage.
Hey, Clarence, let me ask you a question. When Anita Hill was working with you, why did you put the pubic hair on the Coke can for her? Why did you do that, you wacko?
Texas state law already requires parental consent for minors, and for the last year, providers receiving federal money have followed Texas rules. Conservative Trump-appointed judges are the driving force, and the goal is to get the issue of Title X, which funds free confidential contraception for teens, before SCOTUS as a violation of parental rights. The program has been in place since Nixon. Nixon was in the White House.
Wow.
And at that time had bipartisan political support. That's before the evangelicals
yes.
completely took over the Republican Party.
When Nixon?
Remember Barry Goldwater?
Yes.
Creepy, horrible, ultra, uber conservative. Has that famous quote where he said, back in the day, back in the late 60s and 70s, we can't allow this our party to be taken over by the preachers.
Yeah.
Well, because our government is based on compromise. And the last thing any God botherer will ever do is compromise about yes. anything.
Yes. I'll quote one of the more horrible hymns that you might hear in church. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's fun, right?
Roe, Griswold, and Obergefell, the landmark rulings that school children should learn about, codify individual freedoms. They're derived from the doctrine of substantive due process and implied right of privacy that Clarence Thomas and other conservatives say is not in the Constitution and therefore should be subject to the same scrutiny that doomed Roe versus Wade.
Right. I don't know if Clarence Thomas is in his study reviewing the Constitution. I think he's on a meth trip with Harlan Crow, right?
Oh, yeah.
Having a ball.
Justice Thomas calls himself an originalist, and conservative activists are doing all they can to tee up cases that could assemble the court's conservative majority to go beyond Roe.
Yes.
And take up this business, whatever the political consequences.
I thought Clarence was more of an insurrectionist than an originalist. I'm confused.
The Trump appointee who initially ruled on teen contraception in the U.S. is Matthew Kaczmarek, a religious liberty, quotes, let's put that in quotes, a religious liberty lawyer
yeah.
when Trump elevated him to the bench in 2019. He's the kind of religious liberty lawyer that is like, you should be free to allow me to shove my religion down your throat.
Right.
And force you to abide by my religious dogma.
Absolutely.
That's freedom.
Yes, and in my free time, I'm going to do a self-crucifixion.
As the only federal judge in Amarillo, Texas, he's the favorite of conservative activists who go judge shopping before they file a case. The case, yeah, listen to this. This is the case that the Supreme Court took up and is going to listen to, this Mifepristone case.
That's crazy. Why even hear this?
And the thing is, we know about his evidence. And we know about the dodgy websites that he based his ruling on.
The evidence.
And if these yeah. motherfuckers in SCOTUS agree with him, then it's gone. Where the country's gone.
Yeah.
There's no rule of law anymore.
Right. They should have packed the courts when you had the chance.
The case originated with Alexander DeAnda, a father of three underage daughters who is raising them in accordance with Christian teaching
on
matters of sexuality, which requires unmarried children to practice abstinence refrain from sexual intercourse until marriage.
Someone protect these children from whoever this creepy Republican is, because boy oh boy.
How does he have standing? Because it says none of his daughters, meanwhile, had sought contraception. But that didn't mitigate his complaint, according to Kaczmarek, the judge, who ruled in December that the federal program violated the father's rights under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, denying him the fundamental right to control and direct the upbringing of his minor children.
But its children weren't seeking birth control. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So how does he have standing?
Jesus?
Is that the point, though?
Yeah, it's yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't know how it's gotten this far.
Jeez.
once you see who the players are, you get the idea of where this is going.
Okay. Under his eye.
It's also worth mentioning that the plaintiff is represented by Jonathan Mitchell, former Texas Solicitor General responsible for putting in place the state's abortion ban at 6 weeks of pregnancy when many women don't even know they're pregnant.
Like, you can't listen. You might imagine a baby. That's illegal.
On the three-judge panel upholding Kaczmarek's bullshit ruling,
yes,
was another Trump appointee, Stuart Kyle Duncan, who successfully argued the Hobby Lobby case that allowed religious employers to exclude coverage for contraception in health insurance plans.
What? Where are? I am absolutely fucking tired of hearing these stories where, oh, it's a Trump-appointed judge. I mean. Are those the only judges that we're hearing from, or am I crazy?
Well, right, because the cases,
shopping.
If the cases go to normal judges, they don't go through. We don't hear about them anymore.
Are you telling me? I'm sorry, we're talking about judges. I know this is a different case. Are we just supposed to believe that it's just bad, stupid luck that Eileen Cannon is trying this case, is in charge of this case?
In Florida, let's remind everyone.
And she's underqualified. How are we that unlucky, though?
Right.
Don't you believe that something happened behind the scenes to sort of create... I mean, Trump did appoint her as a judge, but there must be something else to be this unlucky going on. I mean...
Well, yeah, we're trying to... Yeah. They don't care.
God, fuck these judges. Are there any non-Nazi judges available to do anything, or are they all like little fuck nuts?
But that's the thing, is they judge shop. So they you know, Kaczmarek's dance card must be really full, because that's every right-wing Christo lunatic is going to him for lawsuits.
But what about these other judges that aren't Trumpies? What are they doing all day?
Well, they're doing other stuff.
In their robes, playing with their balls?
They do other stuff.
Like what? God. Do they really? Like, what else? What else do judges do? Do they file or collating?
They're very busy.
All the liberal judges aren't trying any cases. It's just these Trump fucks that are underqualified.
There's this headline that says Mike Johnson was blindsided by the abrupt Ken Buck's abrupt departure that could end Lauren Boebert's career. I saw another story that said that there may be five more.
What?
That are talking about leaving.
Oh yeah, run away.
Which, wouldn't that be it?
That would be great.
Wouldn't that give us the House majority for the rest of the year?
Guess who we'd never hear from again? Mike Johnson.
And Speaker Hakeem Jeffries is what we would have.
Oh, my fucking God.
Right? How different things would be.
I don't even know. It would be different, right? Hakeem Jeffries is a lot different than Mike Johnson. Yes, right? Absolutely. Can we have that? God, can we have that? That would be good.
House Speaker Mike Johnson's grip on the gavel appears to be slipping with each day passing amid unrelenting retirement and resignation announcements by members of his caucus.
Wow, that's good writing. Grip on the gavel seems to be slipping.
A new analysis shows how fragile his majority has become. The Washington Post published an infographic showing that the 2023-24 House Republican majority is the smallest of the 21st century. As of March 12th, there were only six more Republicans than Democrats in the House. And after March 22nd, when Ken Buck will leave, it will be five.
You know, I was watching YouTube and I randomly came across a clip of Mike Johnson on Fox. And Mike Johnson is supremely fucked up. And I know that isn't news.
He's creepy,
but
isn't he?
He refers to himself in the first person. You know what I mean?
Third person, you mean? He calls himself Mike Johnson?
Sorry, yeah. I'm in the South. I was raised, went to school. So, you know what I mean, though. Third person. He talks about himself in the third person. He's crazy.
Like Trump.
Yeah. They're all nuts.
One government professor said this the speaker has to be very careful. Republicans have to make sure they all actually show up for votes.
That's going to be tough because these Republicans have things going on that like other people don't, like the trafficking, the diddling, who knows what would make you late.
Assuming full attendance, Johnson will be able to afford to only two defections of the House Republican conference after Buck's exit. If he hopes to pass any legislation without Democratic support, which could be easier said than done. The Post reported since the start of this session of Congress, at least one member has been absent for 99.8 of all votes on the floor.
Who?
So the there's been a person missing.
Okay. I see.
So only 0.02 of votes. Or 0.2, I mean, of votes on the House floor has had every single member there.
Somebody's 15 minutes of fame are just about up, Mike Johnson.
And it could be they were just taking a shit in the, you know.
I see.
Absences can be due to anything from delayed flights, illness, family members, anything in between.
Yeah.
Johnson learned the hard way after his first attempt to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas. That vote proved unsuccessful with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who missed the roll call due to illness.
I mean, you don't mean to laugh, Steve, but that's...
The second vote succeeded by just one vote, as several Republicans, including Buck, voted with Democrats to not impeach Mayorkas.
Wow, that's nice. Thank you. Jeez. I'll miss Mike Johnson. He's just such a weirdo. His lips disappear all the time.
Johnson's control over his caucus appeared. When did he have it? Appears to have waned considerably since he was elected in October. The speaker's last few votes to keep the government funded until the next deadline to avoid a federal shutdown had more Democratic votes than Republican.
No, it's a sad time for Mike. I mean, it must have been so much fun for Mike when he got appointed, when he won that vote, that historic vote to make him the new speaker, right? And now he doesn't get to go to his retreats, read Leviticus to all his little Republican fuck buddies. Nobody wants to hang out with you.
Johnson can't afford to run afoul of the far-right bloc of Republicans that led to McCarthy's ouster, given his already paper-thin majority.
Shit, man.
Absences are heightened in this period of slim majorities with such polarized parties. Small majorities can be successful in the House, but this one is racked by this faction, and it's very organized.
Okay.
Loonies.
Listen to me, Democrats. Set your alarms. You can't be late. Everything has to be perfect because these Republicans will fuck up, right?
Yeah.
Somebody will oversleep. They'll miss a train. Who knows? They're going to have too much Ambien.
Whether Johnson keeps the gavel or loses it, may depend on how several freshman Republicans from New York fare in November. The Empire State's voters will be divided into new congressional district maps by the time of the election, as New York's redistricting commission is currently finalizing maps to be used in 2024.
Yes.
The Republicans, D'Esposito, Lawler, and LaLota of New York would all need to hold onto their seats if Republicans hope to stay in the majority. And after Tom Suozzi, Democrat, won the February special election to replace Santos, that may be a tall order because those are all purpley districts.
What are the chances that Matt Gaetz holds on and wins another?
Oh, gosh. I assume he's running again. I mean, I haven't heard otherwise. Does he have opponents yet?
I don't know. I wish Michelle Obama would buy a timeshare down in Pensacola.
His last opponent's running for Senate here, right?
Phil Ayer? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I like Phil Ayer. I wish he was our representative.
I do like Phil Ayer, yeah.
I wish Rebecca Jones was our representative.
He actually took a minute to speak to me at that
one
march or whatever. And I was like, wow, this guy's really cool.
I went to an event and he picked up trash at a community center. He's nice. He seems like a nice guy. Now, Matt Gaetz, I don't know what he's doing. He's probably behind the community center molesting someone. I mean, it's weird to say I like Phil. I mean, anybody that has ran against Matt Gaetz would have been better. You know, Phil Ayer would be a better congressperson. Phil Ayer would be a better senator than Marco Rubio, who looks like shit, by the way. Did you see that they cut to him during the Soto?
Who?
Rubio. your senator.
Oh, I didn't notice.
He looks like shit. He looks like he spends all day drinking in a bar. He looks like shit, man. Remember when he was young and excited to be in the Senate and Rachel Maddow was making fun of him the way he drinks water? Yeah. Now he's just like sloppy. He's sloppy.
Let's see. McAfee, did you see this?
Yes.
Trump got some charges dismissed.
The DOJ doesn't want to help. They don't want to help. They don't give a fuck. They're like, hey, if a Nazi
they can't
is a,
control that judge.
No, they can't. But why is it? Why?
Judge Scott McAfee eliminated some of the Fulton County election interference charges against Trump today. And some legal analysts, though, believe that gives a clear hint about how he will rule on disqualifying District Attorney Fani Willis.
Jeez. Well,
because he's hearing that.
I guess what do we do? Just give up on that?
Over the past several weeks, Trump's co-defendants have tried to have Willis removed from the case because she's had a relationship with the lead prosecutor. They claim she financially benefited from the relationship, like $100, by the way, while he was making money from the county.
This is insane. That whole thing is nuts.
On Wednesday, McAfee dismissed six counts in the criminal case facing Trump and his allies. Three of them affected Trump personally and involved solicitation or a violation of oath by a public officer. Many charges remain. Former impeachment lawyer, ethics czar Norm Eisen, explained that the move is somewhat an indication of that McAfee will not be disqualifying Willis.
So, why? I don't understand.
Writing
that
on social media, Eisen explained that the judge is refusing to throw out the key elements of the RICO charge, although he is tossing a few of the later counts against a few of the defendants for lack of specificity. If he were going to disqualify Willis, he likely would not have bothered to wrap up this very detailed order since he's busy, and disqualification would eventually effectively freeze the case for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, the move would have been...
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Yeah. We only have 2 minutes left, There's breaking, very important news.
Okay.
We might have to finish this tomorrow. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell will not be traveling to the Supreme Court to reveal evidence as he had promised.
Yes.
On Tuesday, he said he no longer planned to hold the event at the court. The Supreme Court case, the lawyers will be turning it in later on Thursday. We're going to do it right on site at the Supreme Court. But they said, no, Mike, it's too risky. It's going to be too dangerous. The evidence we're going to put in this case has never been seen before. And the only reason we're able to do it is because they kicked this case out on standing. Had they not done it, we wouldn't be able to add this new evidence. And it's so explosive. So he's not going to have his circus. Because it's too dangerous.
Oh my
Ryan.
God, Mike. That's a responsible decision to make. You should go underground, deep underground.
You got to get the fuck out of here quick. Thanks for listening, everybody. Back Faithless Friday,
yay,
2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 Eastern. Check out what Ryan's doing at Rated R Comedy on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, and RatedRComedy.com.
Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on X or Instagram at Vile Experience. Oh, so freaking Vile.
Message. Couple of days to you. Happy birthday again, Ryan.
Thank you.
We'll hit you guys up on Friday.
Fuck Trump.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.